Folks, you might have heard a rumor about a rather large game at Autzen this week. Game day's here, the unbeaten 7th-ranked Cardinal are here, and our next guest will join them all. Quarterback Stanford to the 99 Pac-10 title. Be calling the action for KMBR Radio in the Bay Area alongside Scott Reese, always one of our favorite talks of the season. Todd Husak joins us. Todd, how is life treating you and yours these days?
Oh, we're doing great. Big week. Another game day up in Autzen. We did it, 2010, when both teams won the top 10. So fired up for it. And tell you what, a lot of offensive talent on the field. Hopefully Stanford can keep pace with Ducks.
You know, if you ask the average college football fan about rivalries, you'd probably get Michigan, Ohio State, Bama, Auburn. But man, in this league over pretty much the past decade, and certainly with the birth of the North and the Pac-12, you know, safe to say Stanford and Oregon has become a game that always has serious conference implications now.
Well, there's no question. I think when Jim Harbaugh came in, the top dog was USC, and he talked about all offseason, you know, his first season as coach, that media day, he talked about beating USC, who was coming off, you know, back-to-back national title contentions and really one of the top programs in the country. And Jim Harbaugh, who was taking a 1-11 Stanford team, was talking about beating them. And I think that was his mindset. And if you want to be a champion, you have to beat, number one, your conference champion. And sure enough, Oregon really took over that role with Chip Kelly, and I think Stanford changed their program, changed their defense, how they recruit, how they play their style of defense to keep up with the Ducks, who were scoring 50, 60 points, it seemed like, every week. And so I think Stanford's mentality became, how do we beat Oregon? And that has, I think, persisted, and there's been some great games in this rivalry the last 10 years, and you're right, really the winner of this game has gone on to pretty good success when it comes to winning the conference.
And then, of course, 24-23, October 2007, they beat USC.
As a 42-point underdog.
I know. Believe me, I'm somebody who's paid attention to the line since I was like 12. I remember that game very well. Todd, one of the issues we discuss on this show is the bubble. Not uncommon for people to kind of, in that town, see things through yellow and green lenses. I've heard some folks here tell me Stanford struggled a little bit last week. And I was like, I watched the game. I want to focus the defense. The field goal came when the Aggies got the ball on the Stanford 12. The TD on the last play of the game. You were there. How strong was and has Lance Anderson's defense been this year?
Well, I think they've been a surprise because looking at the personnel and sort of the preseason, you scout this team, you would think the offensive firepower would lead the way and they'd have to outscore a lot of teams. And it's been the exact opposite. The defense, despite losing Harrison Phillips, who was an All-American nose tackle, over 100 tackles last year as a nose tackle, and Justin Reed in the secondary, you would think that the defense would struggle, and I think certainly looking at it, the front seven was going to struggle, and it's really been anything but. I think Stanford has two excellent lockdown corners in Elijah Holder, who is back from a knee injury on one side, and a young kid, Paulson Adebo. Remember his name. He is a freshman, a redshirt freshman getting his first real action. He has a chance to be, I think, a top 10 NFL draft pick. He's young, but he's big, he's athletic, he's rangy, he has really good instincts. His timing is excellent. He had three pass breakups against Davis. He did the same thing against USC. He tackles well in space. I think that's one of the things Stanford really changed in how they recruited. And I think part of it was due to Oregon's kind of spread, get to the perimeter, use their speed in space, and out-athlete the defense. They have big, strong corners who can tackle and tackle one-on-one. And these two guys, I think, are as good as it gets around the conference, maybe in the country, in tackling. So the defense has done its job. They also have a couple young guys. I wouldn't say there's a standout. Like, I don't think there's a top three round draft pick on the front seven, but they all have played well together. No Casey Tuhill, the outside linebacker who has been disruptive, will hurt. I think will hurt big because he's been the guy they can get in the backfield. He is not playing against the Ducks, so that'll be something to keep an eye on. But I think there is depth, and Stanford has some speed. And if they can disrupt, you know, put Oregon in some second and long, third and long situations, that will be key. So I think on both sides of the ball, being effective on first down will be a big key to victory.
Now, another guy in that defense is from Jesuit in Portland, now a fifth-year senior. Beyond the damage he does on the field, he's Pac-12 All-Academic. What kind of season, what kind of player? Joey Alfieri, how's he been for this program?
He took a step backwards, I think. Last year, they moved him from the edge to the inside, and he was a non-factor. It was really surprising because everybody really liked his athleticism. We saw what he did in Eugene with two interceptions a couple years ago. I think everybody expected him to have a breakout year last year, and he didn't play in some games. So they did, in my opinion, the smart thing, get him back to the outside where he can, again, create some havoc, get into the backfield. He's good in coverage. He has good instincts, and let him use that athleticism to get in the backfield, and he's been very effective first couple weeks, and they're going to need a big game from him. I think this Oregon team, they look back on track. Justin Herbert, I was not sold on all the preseason talk about him being one of the top, two or three quarterbacks in the country from an NFL standpoint. Watching him, he is impressive. He whips the ball a little bit. I mean, he puts some velocity on it, and sometimes too much. Those underneath passes can be hard to catch, but he has all the physical tools. They run this up-tempo style, which suits him well. And they got talent at wide receiver, speed at wide receiver, and in the backfield. Stanford's defense is going to face its biggest test. USC had athletes, but their quarterback is not even close to where Justin Herbert is.
Yeah, he's a former baseball player. Sometimes he relies on that fastball. Talking Stanford football with their radio analyst, Todd Husak. A general question, as a former player, somebody close to the program, that new freshman rule where they could see action up to four games and still redshirt. So if you look at the Stanford depth chart, it's pretty much Thomas Booker. What did you think about and what you're seeing about that change?
I love it personally. I think stripping a kid of a red shirt, sometimes somebody needs to play due to an injury, an in-game injury, and he plays 50 snaps and he loses a year of eligibility. I think that's too bad. And I like the four-game rule. Thomas Booker is not a four-game rule guy. He will play, I think, more and more as the season goes along. He's one of those guys. They had an event at the end of fall camp, and you could bring your kids, and I brought my son there, and then they signed autographs, and I was able to walk by this young man. He doesn't look like many other 18-year-old kids that I've seen. I mean, he looks like a 28-year-old, like, seasoned veteran, big, strong, big lower body. Like, this kid, I think, is built to be a special player. He had a really impressive athletic interception against Davis on a tip ball, but he's only going to get better. I think he's young, but he's got the frame already of a guy that, you see these guys in the SEC, I think, a little bit more often than you do in the Pac-12. And when you get a guy that big and strong and fast, he has a chance to be a special player. I think he's on pace to do something like that.
Yeah, I'm always interested in the kind of staff David Shaw puts together. We know the coordinators have been with the program for a while. The running back coach, Ron Gould, second year. The new guy is Kevin Carberry, who actually has been in the NFC East for a couple years. Now he's the coach of the offensive line, run game coordinator, obviously longtime staples of your program. What's the word about his impact on the big fellas protecting the quarterback and triggering that ground game?
The players love him. He's a younger guy. I think he can relate well to the younger players. He's got his work cut out for him because there's talent, but they haven't played a ton of games together. There's some young players, Walker Little, the left tackle, only in his second year in college football. He's going to get a lot better. So he's in a great position where there's some experience. Nate Herbig and Jesse Burkett at center and right guard have played, but he's got his work cut out for him in developing these younger guys, and I think developing the group. And the players do like him, but that has been a weakness. If you look at where Stanford has not met expectations or I think played to their talent level, it's probably been up front, and that's not against Coach Carberry. I think he has the talent and the ability. It's this group feeling comfortable. They did play a freshman at center the first few weeks. So I think communication's been an issue, but they should be able to just show up and push around a team like Davis where they outweighed him by 50 pounds a man, and they didn't. And I think Stanford can do some different things scheme-wise to help themselves out. The misdirection, putting some pressure on defense to make the right decision and not just be able to fly to the ball where you're doing reverses or play action passes. And Stanford has not done enough of that in the first few weeks. So I'm hoping the run game and the pass game continues to evolve and work on up each other. But it hasn't been a surprise. Defenses are going to focus on Bryce Love, stopping him, and taking their chances on the outside. I think Stanford has been their philosophy, run to set up the pass. I think Stanford has to flip that, throw the ball down the field, soften up the defense, and then hammer him with Bryce Love, who really hasn't gotten going, despite his 130 yards against USC. Most of those came on one long run, a 60-yard run, and it was tough. It's been tough for him to find lanes, and I think we just got so spoiled last year with him ripping off the long runs every week. We don't appreciate how hard that is to do. He made it look easy. He needs a couple of those, I think, on Saturday.
A couple final thoughts for Stanford radio analyst Todd Husak. You know, I wanted to ask you about him. I had a feeling from what I read, if this game were last week, he might have been in there. Trevor Spates had a nice game against UC Davis. And I know some coaches get a little nervous discussing injuries. So I guess without giving up the missile codes at NORAD, I mean, is he 100%? Would you think he'd have been able to go last week?
You know, one of the things Stanford does, they do not release injury information. So technically, we don't know why he missed last week. I think a lot of people would look at the hit he took at the end of the SC game and say he had a concussion. My answer is I don't know. I think, you know, they wanted to make sure he was healthy. So if there was any question, they were going to hold him out last week and make sure, because Stanford's got a big one against the Ducks in Eugene. There's no question this one is huge. Then they go at Notre Dame next week and then home against Utah. This three-game stretch will probably decide what direction the Stanford season goes. So they wanted to make sure he was 100% for these three games. I'm confident he is. I don't know that with inside information, but I'm guessing they wouldn't put him out there. He wouldn't put himself out there if he wasn't 100%, because he's a smart kid. He's going to graduate in less than 4 years. He's going to be his life goal. You know, I think he wants to play in the NFL, but his real dream is to be a pediatrician. I mean, this is right. A pretty special kid. So he understands himself, and I don't think he'd put himself at risk if he wasn't feeling like he was up to it.
Well, every time I hear that young guy talk, I'm like, I need to take night classes or something and be better.
He's a special young man, there's no question.
Let's wrap with KJ Costello, the quarterback. You know, last year he kind of shared the gig with Keller Christ, who's now at Tennessee. I've watched every game. I love the way he played against San Diego State. I guess efficient against USC, some inconsistencies last week. Through your eyes, the eyes of a quarterback, how would you evaluate his play so far this year?
Disappointing first quarter last week against UC Davis. He had played so well, I thought, against San Diego State. Really moved well inside the pocket, felt the rush, threw a good deep ball, got the ball on his guys on time. Pretty good against USC, didn't make the big mistake, ran the offense pretty efficiently. Last week it was rough. I mean, he was missing throws, most of them high. And then some bad reads, two early interceptions. He took some sacks that I didn't think he needed to. He cannot make those mistakes against a much faster, much more disciplined, much more dangerous Duck defense. He has to be sharp. Hopefully, you know, sometimes quarterbacks just have a bad day, and I'm hoping that was the case. And he's going to be ready to go against Oregon, who, listen, this environment, this team in particular, thrives on momentum. Stanford has to be very careful not to give and more opportunities than they need, because they can take advantage of it. That crowd gets going. It can get away from an opponent pretty quickly up there. I have experience. Back in 98, we were down 14-0 a minute and a half into the game before we even took a snap of offense. So Stanford has to be sharp, has to be disciplined, can't afford turnovers, make a few plays in the special teams game. And I think Stanford has the big playability. There's a lot of talent on that offensive side, but they need Costello to be sharp.
All right, folks, he is Todd Husak. He'll be in the booth for Ducks Cardinal alongside play-by-play partner Scott Reese for KNBR Radio. Todd, always look forward to talking with you. Thanks for your time. You travel safe. Have a great broadcast, and we appreciate you joining us to talk Cardinal football.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, have a good one.